Let's open up God's Word to Luke chapter 21. We'll read verses 1 to 28. And our text is that last verse of our reading, verse 28. Luke 21, starting at verse 1. This is God's Word. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, "Of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had." And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, "As for these things which ye behold, the days will come, in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And they asked him, saying, "Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass?" And he said, "Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by." Then said he unto them, "Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." And so far we read God's Word. Let's reread verse 28, which is our text. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the sermon tonight is really a combination for old years and new years. The text could work for both, and we're going to really apply it for both tonight. There's an opportunity today to look at the year that has gone past, 2021, and an opportunity to look at the year that is to come, 2022. As we're reflecting, whether backward or we reflect upon that which is to come, there is one thing that we are called to do. And this is the word of Jesus Christ to me, and this is the word of Jesus Christ to you tonight. As you look back, as you look forward, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption is getting closer and closer and closer. That's the imperative that comes before us tonight. We're in Luke chapter 21. This is sometimes called the Olivet Discourse. And it is named that because these words were spoken by Jesus Christ to his disciples when they were on the Mount of Olives. And Jesus in the Olivet Discourse is treating the last things. That's the main doctrine here in Luke 21. And what Jesus is saying, a bulk of what we read tonight, is an answer to an inquiry that his disciples made, and we read of their inquiry earlier on in the reading. And now in response to the disciples, Jesus gives to them, and he gives to us, his disciples today, the signs of his second coming. And so we have that before our attention tonight. Let's look at this under the theme, look up and lift up your heads. Answer three questions. When? When are we to do that? And then what? What does that mean to look up and lift up your heads? And then third, why? What's the reason we are to do that? Look up and lift up your heads. When, what, and why? Let's begin by considering the verses in Luke chapter 21 that come before our text. And you'll notice when you look at those verses that come before the text that Jesus is addressing the whole matter of Jerusalem being destroyed in 70 AD. That's partly what he treats in these verses, the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. So from the perspective of the disciples themselves, this is not so far in the future from this point. Jesus addresses this, for instance, in verses 20 and 21, where he says this, "And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto." So Jesus is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, something we ought to understand is that when Jesus brings up the destroying of Jerusalem in 70 AD, that is a type or a picture of Jesus coming on the last day. And it's that coming of Jesus Christ on the last day of history, that second coming that he treats probably most of all in these verses before our text. Especially the signs of his second coming at that last day. Jesus talks about his second coming in verse 27, where he says this, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." And as I said, what takes up a lot of these verses are the signs of that second coming of Christ. And when we talk about signs, what we're saying is certain events which indicate that Jesus is coming and that the end of all things is near and approaching quickly. So you have these events that indicate Christ's coming. Those are signs. Maybe the children here think of a road sign. Lansing, 10 miles this way, the road sign might say. The signs of Christ's coming are not merely like a road sign, though. And the difference is the signs of Christ's coming actually bring his coming nearer. Christ is coming, and he is coming in and by the signs. Now, when it comes to this whole matter of the signs of Christ's second coming on the last day, you can classify them in two groups. One group of signs are events that occur immediately before Jesus comes again. So that's right at the end of history. Then the other category of signs are those signs which occur throughout the New Testament age. So right before he comes again, but also signs that occur throughout the whole new dispensation. Now, read the text with me again. Jesus says, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." When Jesus says in the text, "these things," what's he talking about? Well, he's referring to those signs of his second coming. When he says, "these things," he's talking about the events that will occur right before he comes back, and he's talking about those events that occur throughout the New Testament age. That's what the "these things" are, the signs of his coming. Jesus says about those signs that they will come to pass. How many times growing up haven't you read that little phrase in the Bible? "And it came to pass, and it came to pass, and it came to pass." You read that phrase so often. Well, you have the same thing here. Next time you come upon that, don't read over that so quickly, because that's loaded with significance. That's not only saying that something happened, something did happen, but built into that little phrase is the providence of God. By God's governing hand, this thing came to pass. These things, even the signs of Christ's coming, all of these events that take place are included in the providence of God. He's on the throne, he's sovereign, and he brings these things to pass. That's how you ought to think also of this. These signs are included in his providence. And even before we march on to the rest of the verse, you see there's already comfort there. Absolutely nothing in this whole universe happens by chance. But Jesus says these things, these signs of his second coming, not only that they come to pass, but that they begin to come to pass. And when Jesus says that, he's saying that there is more or less a beginning or a starting point to these events occurring on the earth. That event or that starting point would be in the life of the disciples already, Jesus having ascended up to the right hand of his Father. And from then, through the whole New Testament age, with increasing intensity, there will be all of these things happening, all of these indications that he's coming again. So we've established these things to which Jesus refers in the text are the signs of the second coming. But what we have not established yet is what these signs are. What is Jesus really talking about here? What things are going to happen? Let's take a non-exhaustive look at some of the signs of the second coming that occur throughout the whole New Testament age. And in the process of doing so, we remember some things that happened in the year gone by too, 2021. Verse 8, Jesus says, here's one of the signs of my coming. There are going to be deceivers. He says, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. These, of course, have been around through the whole new dispensation, and they're around today too. Those who seek to mislead people, lead them astray from the truth into error, they're called deceivers. They're crafty men, and they have an evilly attractive message that they preach or they teach. They claim Christ's authority, and they come on the basis of Christ's name, and they will say and teach that they can do what Christ does, but they're deceivers. And Jesus says, that's an indication that I'm coming. Another sign is wars. Verse 9, and when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. When you reflect back on 2021, who here has not, if you even take a casual glance at the news, noticed that there's all sorts of warfare? And even if it's not the formal conflict of one kingdom against another kingdom, although there is that, terrorist attacks and the hatred of the nations and the bloodshed. You don't have to look in the news very long at all to find a very long list of wars in 2021. He's coming. And then he gives a list of signs in verse 11. And great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. There are going to be, says Jesus, earthquakes. And we know, of course, what those are, the violent shaking or the agitation of the earth. And if there should be an earthquake that occurs under the water on the seafloor, then we call that a tsunami. And we've known of tsunamis lately, in the last years, that have swallowed up whole villages on the shoreline. Read that in 2021, it was a very active period for earthquakes. No fewer than 18 major earthquakes, and they occurred. There was a major earthquake in every month of the year except for two. And included really in this category are hurricanes and floods. And when I say the word tornadoes, then your mind instantly goes back to 2 or 3 weeks ago and the photos that you've seen of the southern states and how they are so violently struck by those cyclones. Christ is coming and his signs are all over, and they've been recent. And Jesus mentions there in verse 11 too, famines, deprivation of food. And of course, where there is a scarcity of crops, there the people die. And that's connected to the other signs where there are earthquakes and where there are pestilences and war, there's likely to be famine. Breaks up the earth, leaves the people without food. Recent analysis by the UN agency reveals 41 million people in 43 countries, quote, are teetering on the very edge of famine, end quote. Christ is coming. And most interestingly for us today, Jesus mentions pestilences. This word, this is striking too. In another place in the New Testament, this word pestilences, which refers to diseases here, in that other place refers to a human being who's a troublesome person, a pest to public welfare. And now, when you come back to this context, when Jesus is talking about pestilences as disease, you can understand the connection. Just like there can be an individual, such a pest, so troublesome to society, so there are also these diseases and these things that you can't even see with your naked eye that go into people and infect people, and they're so troublesome and they're such a pest to society. Little organisms. And even this is connected to the other signs that Jesus talked about. Where there's war and where there's famine, there's certainly going to be death. And where there are corpses lying all over on the battlefield, that's just an invitation for all sorts of diseases. You see, all these things go together. And included in pestilence is pandemic. And do I even need to say words like COVID and Omicron and full hospitals, no rooms in the beds anymore, and death? Christ is coming, and that's a sign. And he mentions fearful sights and great signs that there shall be in heaven. Probably he refers there to meteors and comets and eclipses. We've had those in recent years too. And to mention no other sign but this: persecution. We experience it on a milder level. Go to some of these other countries across the world. It's much more severe. But even persecution, says Jesus, from family members. Verses 16 and 17. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. So this is what Jesus is talking about when he says in the text, when these things begin to come to pass, all of these different signs and also more, these events that occur in the world, these signs of the second coming. Now, Jesus says, when you observe all of that, look up. Lift up your heads. Children, you have to visualize this a little bit. When Jesus says there, look up, there is a person who is stooped over. He's bent down. And when Jesus says, look up, that means straighten up. You were stooped over, you were bent down, now straighten up. And then, when Jesus says, lift up your heads, now you must picture a person whose head is pointed at the ground. He's looking down, and now his head is elevated. His head is raised or lifted up. So now instead of stooped down and looking at the ground, he's looking up. So in total, those two things, you are stooped, straighten up, look up, and then lift up your heads. Don't you need that? Don't you need, and I too, that imperative from the Lord Jesus Christ day after day after day? Because how often isn't it true in our lives that we are looking down in sorrow and that we are stooped or bent over in so much disappointment? We need to hear this. And when I say that we're looking down at the ground in sorrow and we're stooped over in disappointment and sadness, saying that in terms of all of these signs that Jesus mentions here in Luke 21. So we look around us at the world in this past year, all of the conflict and all the blood and the fighting and the hatred from people and the persecution and the earth-shaking disasters and the deceit and a continuing virus and so much sickness. All of these trials and hardships going on. And what is so easy for you and for me to do? To look down and to be bent forward in sorrow. And that's why we need this. Look up. Lift up your heads. Precisely in the middle of all of these things going on. Precisely at the time when these signs are swirling around us. Look up and lift up your head. If you should ask what the theological term is for this, what the doctrine is here that we look up and lift up our heads, it's hope. And that's essentially the command of Jesus Christ. He commands us to hope. And that's, I'm sure, familiar to you. Hope is a certain expectation of future good. Certain expectation of future good. What is that future good that we expect? We're not going to elaborate on it now because we're going to come to it in a little bit. The second coming of Christ. Our redemption that draws nigh. That's the future good. And when Jesus says, be straightened up, lift up your head, he's saying to you, expect. Long for and desire with an ardency this Christ who is to come on that last day of history. Long for that, disciples. Desire that. Don't look at the ground in sorrow and in disappointment. Don't look either horizontally at people and at the things going on, focusing on that, but straighten up. And look up, there's the King. And look up, there are the things of the kingdom of heaven, unshakable and beautiful and glorious, and that shall never fade away. Long for that. But when Jesus says, be straightened up, lift up your head, he's not only saying expect or long for that coming of Christ, but he's saying desire that with an absolute certainty. You see, that's a part of hope. It's not just expectation of future good. It's a certain expectation of future good. That Jesus Christ will come in all majesty and honor and glory and power on the last day of history is a reality. There's no ifs about it. It's going to happen. Desire that with an absolute certainty. There were a lot of things at the beginning of this year that I hoped would happen. But they didn't. We do that all the time, and you can relate to that. I hope so-and-so changes in this way, or I hope this happened, and well, so-and-so didn't change, or this thing didn't happen. But when the Bible speaks of hope, that's an entirely different matter. It will happen. It's a personal certainty for me. Christ is coming, and this redemption will be for me. And do you know what that certainty, that absolute certainty is rooted in? The promise of God. God has promised that the Lord would come at the last day, and His promise will never fall and will never fail. With an absolute certainty rooted in God's promise, expect His coming. That's what Jesus means here. Hope. You can't help but see the contrast that there is between the behavior of the wicked and of the true disciples of Jesus Christ. Jesus draws that contrast out here in the context. Look how the wicked behave. Now I grant that the verses I'm going to read, Jesus is referring to the things that happen right before He comes. I grant that. But even the wicked's behavior under those signs of Christ coming right before He comes, that's the sort of behavior that characterizes them throughout the New Testament and even today. Notice what Jesus says about the wicked and how they conduct themselves in verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and waves roaring. When these things start to happen immediately before Christ comes, there's going to be so much anguish and distress among the wicked. There's going to be a perplexity. They're going to be at a loss. They won't even know where to turn. What's happening here? Verse 26. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. Their hearts are going to faint with such an utter terror or fear or dread from the expectation of the things that are going to happen on the earth. In other words, their vision is only horizontal. What's going to come here? And all of their confidence is in a stable, intact universe. And when things start to break apart, what is going on here? They're going to be so deeply shaken. Isn't that sobering, beloved? The wicked are so completely without hope. That's a terrible thing. And I say again, what a contrast. You do, disciples of Jesus Christ, you do have that hope. And the contrast reminds us that hope is particular. It's not given to all. It's given only to the elect. And this hope is something that we certainly don't deserve at all. And it's not something that we've worked what I deserve. And you too. Is anguish and perplexity, fear, dread, and utter complete hopelessness. That's what we are worthy of. And then finally, when the judge comes from heaven, to be destroyed by Him and thrown into everlasting torments. hope is given to us for the sake of that very same one who's going to come as a judge from heaven one day. And He's going to give us, and we have that hope for His sake, for the sake of the one who is crucified for our sins and suffered and died as the sacrifice for our iniquities. A hope that's given to us by God, worked in us by His Spirit, is a fruit of regeneration. You understand then, we are given to look up and we're given to lift up our heads. At the end of another year, 2021, Christ says to you tonight, look up, lift up your heads. For your redemption draweth nigh. There's the reason. Your redemption draweth nigh. As I was explaining this, were you a little bit puzzled when these calamities are occurring in the world, and there are hurricanes and tornadoes and wars, and there's deception and deceivers and people being deceived and people hating us and countries torn apart, all of these things happening, and in the midst of this all, we are to look up and lift up our heads? That seems strange. It seems like we should be doing the exact opposite, being filled with so much disappointment and sorrow and focusing and being absorbed on all of these things. And yet, that's not the verse. Precisely when all of these things are happening and at the time that they're happening, look up and lift up your heads. And the last part of the text explains that to us. Don't forget that all of these swirls of events that are happening are exactly signs that He's coming and that our redemption draws nigh. That's what they are. Redemption, just in general now, is deliverance from the bondage to sin. A deliverance that is secured by the payment of a price. Jesus Christ paid the price when He shed His blood on the cross. When He shed His blood, He paid fully for all of our sins. There's the payment, and no more payment has to be made at all for His people. And now, rooted in that payment that He has made at Calvary, He delivers us from the bondage of our sin. And that deliverance from bondage takes place in stages. It doesn't happen all at the same time. It begins now in your life. Deliverance from the bondage to sin. And then the next stage is when you die. And you remember what our Heidelberg Catechism says, at the time of our death is the abolition of sin. And then there will be that last great final stage of deliverance from the bondage to sin, which is when He comes again. Then, at that last day, there will be final and full, complete deliverance from all sin. And when Jesus here speaks of a redemption which is to come, future redemption at the last day, it's that stage that He's referring to. When I come again, my people, my disciples, at that time, rooted in my cross, but at that time, you will be fully and completely delivered from all of your sin. And now you think of what's going to happen on the last day. Your corruptible body be raised up incorruptible. And then that incorruptible body joined to your soul, which already has been purged or purified from all sin and corruption at the time of your death. Incorruptible body, purged, purified soul, joined together again, and that you in body and soul, forever and ever, in the spotless new heaven and new earth, may live with Christ forever, serving Him with perfection, no sin to stain, and no defiling thing coming into that new creation whatsoever. There's a redemption coming. What a tremendous hope we have, people of God. And do I even need to say it? What a reason. What a reason, therefore, to look up and lift up our heads. That redemption is coming. It is. As Jesus says, it's coming. It's drawing nigh, which is to say, getting closer and closer and closer, ever making its approach constantly, even right now, and all the way through the New Testament, and all the way to the end of the world, always getting closer. Isn't that wonderful? Right now, at the end of 2021, that redemption is closer than it was at the beginning of 2021. And even now, as we are at the end of this worship service, the redemption is closer than it was when we began. It's like a unstoppable locomotive heading steadily and surely to its goal. And there is not one solitary force in this whole world, not Satan, as active as he may be, and no war and no president and no virus, nothing in all of the universe that can stop it. Look up, straighten up. Lift up your head. It's getting closer. Your hope, your joy, this past year and in the year to come. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank Thee for this grand truth of our coming redemption. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt, by Thy Spirit, evermore fill us with hope. Grant to us that by Thy grace we may have an ardent longing, a certain expectation of that which is to come. We thank Thee too, even, Lord, for the signs that are around us. And although they may be painful from a certain point of view, we thank Thee of the significance that Thou hast let us in on, that they point to our Savior who comes. Press this word upon our hearts, Lord. Apply it to us. And grant that we may go forth from this place too, looking up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We pray that you were edified by the preaching of the gospel today. Please join us for worship if you are ever in the area. For more information about our church, beliefs, or worship times, please visit our website at prccrete.org.